Welcome to The Radical Word, the chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Lancaster, Senior Pastor of Calvary Chapel, French Valley. Open your Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart so that the Word of God can do a radical work in you.
All right, well, we're so excited that you guys are here. Like I said before, hope you're enjoying yourselves this morning. Food was great, wasn't it? Yum, yum, yum. Well, let's go ahead and pray. Okay. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you so much for this day and just for getting together with all the ladies and having that time of fellowship and just having a little time to sing some Christmas songs and to worship you and to just get our attention off of all the busyness of this year, the season that we're in. Lord, it can actually consume us at this time of year, Lord. And so I just pray that we would just settle our hearts and take some time for you and to let you minister to us this morning and just enjoy this fellowship. And so we praise you and we thank you. And Holy Spirit, come and be with us this morning. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Well, before we begin, I thought I'd just ask a question. How many of you have a great need to feel loved? Anybody? Yeah. Yeah, don't we all want to feel loved? You know, we want to love someone and we want them to love us back in return, right? And sometimes we can even feel lonely in a room full of people, right? But we need to remember that we're never alone and that we're always loved. And so it's our hope that you will leave today knowing that. Today I want to share with you about the greatest love story ever. And it's for any and all who have ever felt alone or desired to be loved. So we hope you'll sit back, relax, and try to take it all in, okay? Are you ready? This story is called The Colors of His Love. I'm going to share with you a story of a love that is so deep, the depths of which are beyond our understanding. And that love is going to be represented by the color red today, because that color is often the color we think of when it comes to a person's heart. And this particular heart has an unbelievable, unexplainable love. This story is about a majestic and magnificent, all-powerful, great king who has this amazing love we're going to be talking about today. Our king wears a beautiful, bright, and magnificent crown. This incredible crown is made of pure gold, so our color of gold will represent this magnificent king in his golden crown. This king is the supreme ruler in all the universe, who is in fact deity represented by this color gold as well. This king wanted to create a being who would desire fellowship with him and on whom he would be able to lavish his great love. But he did not want to just create a being who would begrudgingly honor him. He wanted to give these beings the ability to choose to honor him and love him back of their own free accord. And so he gave them free will, the ability to choose him or reject his great love. Now this great king was pure white as the driven snow, as pure can be. And we will use the color white to represent the purity of the king. This is part of his nature, perfect, pure goodness. We'll call that purity complete holiness. But he is perfect, pure injustice as well. And this means he cannot look upon anything that is not pure or holy, also known as sin, without having to judge it, because that too is part of his very nature. The challenge with creating beings having the ability to choose creates a dilemma. You see, this king is beyond the limits of time, so he could see what the outcome would be before he even created them. For if he should give them the ability to choose, they would eventually choose poorly. And this would cause a separation between him and the beloved creation in which he desired fellowship, not because he needed them, mind you, but because he desired to lavish his love on them. He desired a relationship with them. They would be the objects of his love. Knowing that these beings would ultimately choose sin, he designed a plan that though they would end up being separated from him for a time, he would make a way to restore that fellowship he so desired. He would make a provision for those who would choose to accept the way to restore their fellowship with him. So this magnificent king created a perfect environment for his creation. It was a beautiful garden. He made it lush with rich green plants and trees that flourished in the wonderful garden. And the color green will represent the garden he created and its beautiful trees. After the garden was completed and ready, he placed animals there, and finally he created humans so they could take care of it. These human beings were created perfect in every way, absolutely flawless and pure as the beautiful white snow, just like their creator, for they were created in his image. They were given everything that they would need to flourish in this garden, but there was just one thing that they were warned against. It was a tree that was placed in the middle of the garden called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This tree, they were warned, would bring death if they should eat of it. This tree was also beautifully green with luscious fruit, much like all the other trees. But it was the only one, the one thing that they were told they could not have. Everything else in the garden was there for their pleasure and available to them. He had even placed a green tree in the garden called the tree of life, and he told them that they could eat freely of it whenever they wanted. But the king needed to give them the opportunity to choose something that would not be good for them. And thus, this other tree was put in the garden too. So, at some point along the way, a crafty serpent came along to entice them to partake. He questioned the king's motives and caused them to doubt the king's goodness. And then they took of the tree they were told they should not eat. It was then, at that very moment, they became separated from the great king who loved them so very much. They were then forced out of the beautiful, lush green garden. Now they had sinned and were in need of rescue, of a savior. And so the king's elaborate plan was set in motion because of his amazing love. Many years passed as he engaged the best he could with this creation, and for many a year, the very ones he loved so dearly rejected him over and over again. But the love from his red heart was so great, it could not be hindered, because you see, it too was part of his very nature. For he was a king who loves unconditionally. And that means just what it seems to imply, a love with no conditions. No matter what, he loves. So putting his plan into action requires lots of patience, as you can imagine, as well as lots of time. And he eventually provided a small group of people with some tools so they would better understand his ways and how and what he thought about things, right and wrong. He also gave them a temporary solution to deal with their sin problem until the time would come when he could provide the ultimate solution for them. At last, the time came when he would fulfill his perfect plan and provide a way to reconcile his creation to himself once again. It was a way no one could have suspected or would have come up with on their own. No one could have imagined how much love this king had for his creation and to what length he would go to bring them back to him. All throughout this small group of people's history. The king had pointed out the way he would provide for them to find restoration in their Savior. Unfortunately, they just didn't really understand. The king knew the only way was for him to do it himself. He sent his one and only son to come into the world he created so he could take their punishment, ultimate death, upon himself in order to restore the fellowship with them. And so that's what he did. His prince came in the form of his creation as one of them and was born in a humble village by a humble woman in a humble stable, and he was pure white as a spotless lamb, perfect in every way but fully like his created beings. His son was fully human but also fully divine, white with complete purity and holiness, and red with the exact same unfailing, unconditional love as his father, the king. He came to fulfill the plan that they had set in motion before the beginning of time itself. He came into a world that would reject him. He lived an absolutely perfect life. He showed his father's rich red love to all who came in contact with him. And he went out and shared the white, pure truth of who he was and why he came, so he could guide many back to that sweet fellowship he and his father so desired. Some responded, and some did not. Some rejected him so fiercely that he became a threat to them, and so they came up with plans of their own to get rid of him, unaware that he knew this would be what they desired, and it would be all part of his plan too. They thought that they could get rid of him, and yet they were the very ones who should have recognized him. He was the one they were looking for, but they had lost their way and allowed their own ideas to take over. Those ideas had kept them from seeing and recognizing the very one who wanted to save them. At the time appointed, they went about to fulfill their plan to kill him. He did not fight. He did not run. He did not argue. He allowed them to overcome him so that he could accomplish the plan of the king who wore the magnificent golden crown, and their red heart of love could be shown to their creation. Once again, this plan was the only way to accomplish restoring that fellowship he longed for with his creation. It must be done. And so these ones he created took him and made up lies about him so that they would be able to kill him and get rid of him. And he didn't utter a word. They beat him and mocked him and spit at him and whipped him until his precious blood ran red all over his beautiful, pure body. The red color of his blood was showing his perfect love. But what they did didn't stop there. After all that, they put him through the most horrible possible death imaginable. They hung him on a green tree and made it into a cross. A green tree just like those created and put in the beautiful, perfect garden which brought life so many years before. But this one would be used to kill their own creator. And so they drove nails through his hands and feet to attach him to this green tree, leaving him to hang for hours until he would die. And that was awful enough, but you see, that wasn't all of it. Because aside from the torture he was put through, he had more agonizing torment he must endure before his job was complete. I share this again so that you may get another glimpse of this incredible love of his red heart, because it is through this red heart of great love that helped him to endure all that he did. It was the joy of the outcome of what he would accomplish that held him steadfast to his task. And so the last part must be accomplished for the plan to be complete. He must take upon himself the wickedness and sin of his creation because that was what was causing the separation in their fellowship. They could not be united until that was dealt with fully. So for 3 agonizing hours, he had to be completely separated from his father, the king, so he could take upon himself all the creation's sin from the beginning of time till the end of time for every single human ever to live. He took them all, and his father, the king, had to turn away from him and allow it, for it was the only way to fulfill their plan. After that had been accomplished, the precious prince died. He had endured until the very end and had accomplished all he and his father had set out to do. His last words were, "It is finished. Complete, accomplished, and done." My heart is grieved with sorrow to think of all he endured, because you see, I am one of those created beings who nailed him to the cross that day. But I am so very grateful that this isn't the end of the wonderful love story. Because 3 days later, he rose from the dead and ascended back to the king and now sits at his right hand on his throne. And both are wearing their beautiful golden crowns. And now that plan has been completed. It has made a way for the king with his golden crown through the work of his son, the prince, with the red heart of unconditional love and sacrifice to restore with their creation. And now all his creation must do is to acknowledge what the son did, repent of their sins, and receive the great free gift of what was made available to them. That's it. Then any of the created beings who want that restoration and fellowship with their maker can have it. The Maker has promised a new life in his son for all who want it. And not only would that mean an eternal life, but also a restored and abundant life in him. And these are all represented by the color green for life. They would also receive a helper who is called the Comforter, who would come alongside each of them and help them along in life. He brings living water into their life, which is symbolized by the color blue. This blue living water brings healing and refreshment to the soul. This living water also empowers his creation to overcome their sinful nature and be more like their creator. Because he comes to live inside his creation when they accept him, he also gives them this incredible red heart of love that only he has. He wants to give his creation that red love to share, because he wants them to share it with others of his creation so they too might be drawn to this great free gift. When they receive this great gift, they become a part of his family. Now you know what that means. Now they are royalty too. The color for royalty is purple. And they are now adopted into his royal family and have a part in his royal purple inheritance. That's pretty spectacular. And being part of his family means he has given them a way through what the son did to now be white as snow, pure, spotless, and holy like his son. And one day, in the not too distant future, this majestic and mighty king with the golden crown will come again. And he will set up a perfect and pure kingdom in a place called heaven, where he has placed again the green tree of life, and where there will be streets of the purest gold. And his creation will rule and reign with him forever and ever. And we usually say that's the end of the story, but that's not the end of this story. It continues on. You might be wondering, what does all this mean? Well, let me tell you, you too are part of this story. You are one of his creation, and this story is not a fairy tale. It is a true story, and we are all a part of it. The majestic king with the golden crown is God the Father. And the prince who is pure white as snow and the spotless lamb is Jesus our Messiah. They loved us so very much and sacrificed so much to restore that which was broken by mankind. They have given us all many opportunities to hear and receive their wonderful free gift. The scriptures say in Colossians 1, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before God made anything at all and is supreme over all creation. Christ is the one through whom God created everything in heaven and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things that we can't, kings and kingdoms and rulers and authorities. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before everything else began, and he holds all creation together. Christ also is the head of the church, which is his body. He is the first of all who will rise from the dead, so he is the first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and by him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions, and yet now he has brought you back as his friends. He has done this through his death on the cross in his own human body. As a result, he has brought you into the very presence of God, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. That's so amazing. What a beautiful gift given to us, especially at this time of year, as so many of us are planning out our many gifts that we'll give to those we love this year. Won't you consider, if you haven't already received his great gift, that maybe, just maybe, this might be your time to receive it too. There is no greater love that you could ever receive than his. In John 3:16, it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what he desires for each of us, to experience this great love he has. We started today asking about how we all desire to be loved. There is an element of love that you can't have aside from God. He created you with this desire. That's why we all crave it. We were created with a hole, if you will, in our hearts that can only truly be filled with its creator. We can try to fill it with many different things, and we often do, don't we? But until it is filled with its maker, it will never be satisfied. Our God, the creator of the heavens and earth, wants you to know and experience his great love for you. In Ephesians 3, 17 through 19, it says, "Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. And then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God." He wants us to know him intimately and have the power to understand the fullness of his rich love. This is the time of year that all of us, probably more than any other time, feel the need for love.
Thank you for listening to The Radical Word. If you would like to get a copy of this message or this whole series, go to www.radicalword.com. To get more information about Calvary Chapel French Valley, go to www.calvaryfb.com. You can also reach us by phone at 951-600-3845. If you're in the Murrieta area, we would be blessed to have you join us at one of our services or Bible studies.
This is Pastor Rick. The Bible teaches that Jesus, God the Son, came and walked on this earth. He lived a perfect life and then died for the sins of the world, including mine and yours. By believing that and accepting that Christ's sacrifice was for your sins, the Bible says you will be saved. Why not do that right now, right where you are? Pray this prayer with me and mean it. Jesus, I need something radical to happen in my life. Please forgive me of my sins. Please come into my life. Thank you for dying for me and giving me the hope of heaven. Help me to live a radical life for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, send us an email to prayer@calvaryfv.com so we can pray for you by name and send you some information to help you with your walk with Jesus. God bless you.